An international conference to be held in Geneva later this month will examine the sometimes contentious relationship between access to knowledge and copyright information and infrastructure. Organized by the World Intellectual Property Organization, or WIPO, the two-day program will tackle questions related to so-called author works and the linkage between protecting copyright and preserving the public domain. Hello and welcome to Rights Direct Special Programming Within Beyond the Book, the podcast series produced by Copyright Clearance Center, CCC. My name is Victoriano Colodron and I work for Rights Direct. I am speaking to you today from Brussels, and joining me to explain WIPO's hopes for the conference is Victor Vázquez on the line from Geneva. Thank you for being with us, Victor, and welcome to Beyond the Book.
Thank you very much, Victoriano, for inviting WIPO to speak today to Beyond the Book.
Victor Vázquez has worked in WIPO since 2001, where he has focused, among other issues, on the protection of audiovisual performances and the interface between copyright and technology. He is currently in charge of the Digital Future Project, which, under the lead of Mr. Trevor Clark, comprises initiatives such as the International Music Registry, the role and responsibility of internet intermediaries, and others. Prior to his joining WIPO, Victor worked at the copyright unit of the Spanish Ministry of Culture, and as a representative of the Spanish government, he took part in the negotiations leading to the adoption of key European copyright directives and the WIPO Internet Treaties. So, Victor, copyright documentation and infrastructure. For those who are not familiar with this phrase, which is the title of the WIPO conference in October the 13th and 14th, could you please tell us in a few words what that means exactly, copyright documentation and infrastructure?
Copyright documentation and infrastructure is quite a new expression, and it really addresses the need to enable creativity in the digital environment. It comprises a variety of technology and information tools that help people to benefit from the copyright system. So copyright infrastructure includes tools which facilitate the exercise of rights, such as public registration systems, repertoire databases, rights management information. It also includes tools that are developed to help beneficiaries of limitations, such as technologies and information that enable access to works by visually impaired persons. Infrastructure that helps preserve and access content in the public domain is also very important. Very often, the same infrastructure and documentation that facilitates the exercise of copyright by providing right owners with a simple and effective means to clearly establish authorship and ownership of rights also help the general public to delimitate the public domain, to locate it, and to have access to that public domain.
And I believe all these topics will be dealt with during the conference. But let me remind our audience about some words that WIPO's Director General, Mr. Francis Gehry, has said in a number of recent speeches. He said that infrastructure is of paramount importance to face the challenges of copyright nowadays, together with other key elements such as law, cultural change, or institutional collaboration. Now, why is copyright infrastructure so important? And what is WIPO's role in convening this conference?
Well, the Conference on Enabling Creativity in the Digital Environment, which is the subtitle of this conference on copyright infrastructure, derives directly from the mandate of WIPO's development agenda. The development agenda was established in the year 2007 to bring development considerations into the activities of WIPO. The main rationale for the development agenda is the understanding that IP is not a goal in itself and should be placed in a larger background, which notably includes social, economic, and cultural concerns. So as you say, the Director General of WIPO has stressed the importance of infrastructure. In fact, he has also stressed the importance of moving from making things possible to making them happen in the field of copyright. This involves shifting from a purely legal perspective to a consideration of how IP impacts in daily life. This impact takes place by means of contracts and licensing, as well as by means of technology and documentation. In other words, infrastructure is a key driver for this change. Copyright infrastructure is important, in particular, in the evolving digital environment, at least for two reasons. First, because with the advent of digital technology, the overwhelming flow of content and multiplying scores of creators, often completely unidentified, it is more and more justified to have readily available and accurate ownership data. And for this, documentation and recordation are key. Moreover, identification of the work or other subject matter can be complex, as digital technology allows content to be recast into a variety of forms, while multimedia production combines completely different types of subject matter into a single embodiment. Identification, however, is not only important for right owners. It is important for users who need to know who can license the content they want to use. It is also important for beneficiaries of limitations and for the general public in order to preserve and promote the public domain. A twin conference that we organized last year, also under the development agenda, focused on emerging licensing modalities and anticipated the importance of infrastructure to facilitate licensing of content, both in the commercial context and for user-generated content in the context of open licensing.
Right, and let's focus on one of the elements of this copyright infrastructure, one that will be discussed during the conference. I'm referring here to public registries and legal deposit systems. So I would like to ask you, Victor, about the role of these public copyright registries in the general landscape of rights information. And also if you can tell us what are the challenges that these public systems are facing in different regions of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is first very important to note that the prohibition of formalities is the main principle under copyright. So right. Copyright protection is not subject to any formality. But of course, this principle is the consequence or the result of a historical process. Before 1886, before the first act of the Berne Convention, each country had its own rules for recognition of copyrighting a work. Consequently, authors had to comply with formalities on a country-by-country basis. A first harmonization took place by means of the first act of the Berne Convention by introducing the principle that authors need only comply with the formalities imposed by the country of origin of a work. So this first rule was replaced in 1908 in the Berlin revision of the convention by the current principle of formality-free protection, according to which the enjoyment and the exercise of copyright shall be subject to no formality. While respecting this principle of absence of formalities, a number of countries have established voluntary national registration systems. They consider, these countries, that registration facilitates the exercise of copyright by providing right owners with a simple and effective means to clearly establish ownership of rights. The advantages are several. Among the advantages that are listed are the fact that these systems hold valuable information on creativity from a legal and economic perspective. From a legal perspective, the systems provide certificates of registration which issue important information on a work, its author and owner, and also through a documented change of transfer on the current ownership. National registration systems are also useful to delimit the public domain and consequently to facilitate access to creative content for which no authorization from the right owner is needed. And finally, they provide an important source of national statistics. Well, not to forget also that in some countries like the US, they constitute important repositories of cultural and historical heritage as a copy or as a copy of the work is deposited at the time of registration. So WIPO is taking, together with its member states, a number of actions in the field of registration. We are engaged, or we have developed a huge survey on voluntary registration and deposit systems, which builds on a previous exercise in the year 2005 that only focused on 12 countries. This time we have covered all the countries of the world, all the member states of WIPO, and we also cover deposit systems because they also contain valuable information. Also, we address the issue of the digital environment, of how registration systems are adapting to the digital environment. We also cover orphan works, how registries can provide solutions to orphan works, and also the treatment of public domain material. It is important to note that this survey that is already available online, it contains important information on legal deposit systems, and there we can see clearly that governments consider that this information is important for statistical purposes, also as a proof of the publication of the work, also to support research and development and for the preservation of cultural heritage. We have had a high number of respondents in regard to legal deposit systems as well as in regard to copyright registries. And of course, an important element that we have to describe is the fact that the copyright registration varies enormously from region to region. In Europe, it's very marginal, Victoriano. We have very few countries that keep a system of registration. Most of them have abandoned it. In the Americas, on the contrary, all countries in North America, Canada, the US, and Mexico have it, and most countries in South America also have such a system. And we have a number of big countries in Asia, like India and Pakistan, that have such a registration system, and China also. And it is important that some of these developing countries that have kept the system while developed countries abandon it, see this fact, the fact that they have kept a registration system as a competitive advantage as we face the challenges of the digital environment. Of course, this is not to say that there are no challenges for the copyright registries in the online environment. And of course, one important challenge would be that of updating the information, because these systems usually do not have a way to update the information when there's a change of ownership. Another important challenge is how or a concern that has been expressed by some parties is that it will be good to find a way to provide a more complete information in regard to public domain material. When the information falls into the public domain, how to tag or how to provide information in that regard. But of course, this has to be done in close association with right owners, because any delimitation of the public domain also affects or is a way to delimitate what is protected by copyright.
So, Victor, let's now move on from the public to the private sector, where apart from the rights management systems used by individual right holders, we would find also those in place in collective management organizations. So how well prepared would you say that the rights databases of these organizations are to provide accurate information about the works and the rights that they represent?
I believe, Victoriano, that there's a high level of sophistication in many of these collective management documentation systems. And this is so for different sectors of the industry, for the music services, also for reprography. Also, it is true for the audiovisual services. And it is also true for specific right owners, for authors, for performers, for producers. The problem, though, it is that these sophisticated systems are very often isolated and they do not speak to each other enough. They do not communicate in a way that they could complement the information that each other holds. So it is really important to engage in stakeholder dialogues that promote this greater intercommunication of the systems, of the different collective management systems. And of course, WIPO is trying to raise the level of information in regard to collective management documentation. We are doing it under this development agenda project and under a study of private copyright documentation systems and practices, which cover, on the one hand, private registries and systems such as Creative Commons, but also, on the other hand, collective management organizations. And we are.
And this is a very, very recent study, right, Victor?
Yes. In fact, it is ongoing. It is being prepared by FX Natal, which is an outstanding expert that has worked for CSAC for many years. And we will only have preliminary results of that analysis for the conference. But the idea is that this study on documentation and on repertoire databases covers not only authors, but also performers, producers, and different sectors of activity. But also, WIPO is trying to help not only raising the level of awareness and the documentation and information material in this area, but also trying to develop collective management tools for developing countries and tools that are efficient and well adapted to the digital environment. We are doing this with the WIPOCOS project, and also in regard to the interconnection of different collective management organizations in developing countries under what is called the WAN, the West African Network, which is a project under the development agenda. And again, here we see how public interest concerns are closely connected to the concerns of creators and right owners.
Exactly. And perhaps one of the most interesting current challenges when we are talking about rights management is the interconnection and interoperability of the databases of these collective management organizations across boundaries. And in the last couple of years, there has been some work also with the participation of WIPO itself on initiatives attempting to create global databases in the music field. What is the current status, Victor, of these projects? And I would also like to ask you whether you see anything or you foresee anything similar happening in other sectors like publishing?
Well, that is indeed a very good observation, because what we are doing is just providing a stakeholder dialogue to involve all the different parties in regard to the music sector, because we received the request from the music sector. So especially if this initiative is successful, you could envisage, and already some commentators have made the same observation that you just made, this initiative could move on to other sectors and activity, and indeed also to publishing. And it is true that in regard to registration and documentation of information about works, you could say that the WIPO is a good reference, has a good experience in providing services in the field of IP registration. If you look at the industrial property field in activities such as the patent cooperation treaty, you can see that we have the experience of managing large quantities of data, meeting strict deadlines, using multiple languages, and a great emphasis on confidentiality of commercially available information. But it is very important to note that WIPO has to intervene in this field of copyright under different premises, because here we are under the principle of the absence of formalities. There is no treaty that develops this piece of infrastructure, or a registry, or any other piece of infrastructure. So we really have to go hand in hand with stakeholders, and any activity that we develop, any piece of infrastructure that is needed, identified as needed, and where WIPO is ready to develop, has to be identified by consensus and has to be developed by consensus with stakeholders. So, as I say, we are, for the time being, just providing a platform for exchange and for analysis of this topic. And really, this dialogue is focused on the need of facilitating licensing in the digital environment by providing faster, easier, and simpler access to reliable information about musical works and sound recordings in all different regions of the world. And the main principle or the main guideline that our exercise is following is that of avoiding any duplication. So we are very aware of the successful initiatives that stakeholders are developing by their own, and we don't want to interfere in those initiatives to any extent. We want to enhance those efforts. We really like to work together with different database initiatives in order to develop a common framework for all of them, an inclusive and transparent architecture that can link isolated initiatives in order to help different databases to speak better among themselves. So with this goal, we are preparing a scoping study that is bound to document the existing databases or those that are under construction. It will provide a full landscape of the existing databases, and it will provide a description of what is requested or demanded by the industry. And then at the third stage, it will try to bridge the gap between what is already in place and what is being demanded by stakeholders. And this scoping study is being developed by Nick Garnett, and we are hoping to have preliminary results of that study later in the year. And also, we have heard from the chair of the IMR consultative committee that there will be a consultative committee of the International Music Registry in the days following the conference of October. So that will allow bring together some of the synergies and the database experts that will be participating in the events in October.
Exactly. Well, that certainly sounds as a really interesting development. I will now ask you my final question in this conversation, which is about one of the panels in the conference in October, the panel about copyright infrastructure for business models online. So in this panel also we from Rights Direct and Copyright Clearing Center will be able to present our own experience in developing what we think is a robust rights management system to develop our licensing solutions. Now, Victor, in your view, how does an appropriate rights infrastructure or the lack of it affect the building of an offering which is appealing to the content users?
Well, as I said in some of the questions before, information is key in the digital environment. So the role of infrastructure for business models online is vital, is crucial. You could not develop a sound business model without a solid infrastructure. And this panel is very important because we want to emphasize that reliable copyright information is needed by users to identify the licensors, and it is also needed by right owners to be in order to be duly remunerated. So systems that work online have to be especially effective, and also they have to result from a broad consensus between right owners and users. And we are really hoping that this panel, where we will have different business models online, such as YouTube and initiatives by Sony Entertainment and other digital service providers and content providers, will provide a complete picture of the importance of infrastructure in order to support business models offline, and I see a clear role of the Copyright Clearing Center in order to present that bridge between information and documentation and effective business models. And I really look forward to that panel.
So do I. So, Victor, it's been a real pleasure to have you on Beyond the Book today. Thank you very much for being with us. I'm looking forward, really, to seeing you and everyone in Geneva at the conference.
Thank you very much, Victoriano, and thanks to the Copyright Clearing Center for this invitation. I think your participation will enhance the importance of this dialogue. Thank you.
Thank you, Victor. And for those of you in the audience who would like to know more, may I recommend you visit WIPO's website at www.wipo.int. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearing Center, CCC, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and e-books, journals, newspapers, magazines, images, and blogs. Rights Direct is CCC's European subsidiary. You can learn more at www.rightsdirect.com and be sure to follow Rights Direct on Twitter. Again, my name is Victoriano Colodron, speaking to you today from Brussels. From all of us at Rights Direct and Copyright Clearing Center, thank you for listening to Beyond the Book.